from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the House of Representatives pass articles of impeachment in a partisan vote, and polls are showing that support for impeachment is going down, while support for the president is going up. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. Well, as I just mentioned, the House of Representatives voted on Wednesday on two articles of impeachment against President Trump. Here's a clip of how House Speaker Nancy Pelosi opened the session.
I solemnly and sadly open the debate on the impeachment of the President of the United States. If we do not act now, we would be derelict in our duty. It is tragic that the President's reckless actions make impeachment necessary. He gave us no choice.
Well, some would challenge that statement. Ahead of today's impeachment vote, Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana delivered a speech on the House floor unraveling the House Democrats' politically motivated, quote, evidence-free impeachment, end quote. He said the founders of this country warned us against a single-party impeachment because they feared it would bitterly and perhaps irreparably divide our nation. The truth is, in the 243 years of this republic, there has never been a single-party fraudulent impeachment process like the one being used today. Our Democratic colleagues have weaponized the impeachment provisions of the Constitution to nullify the votes of 63 million Americans who elected President Donald J. Trump, end quote. Joining me now from off the House floor is Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana, represents the 4th District. He serves on the Judiciary Committee and is chairman of the Republican Study Committee. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, what a day. I'm speaking to you in the cloakroom right off the floor of the House. And it is, we started this about 9 o'clock and it's still going strong. Everybody's speaking. I would disagree, take issue with every single thing that Nancy Pelosi said in that clip, and that won't surprise you.
Give me a sense, before we get into the substance of what's been said today and what's happening, give me a sense of what it's like there on the floor, your Republican colleagues, Democratic colleagues. What's the sense in the room? What's it feel like?
There's a high degree of frustration on both sides. I would not describe the Democrats as sad or solemn, as Nancy Pelosi said in that clip. It's quite the opposite. The obvious thing here, and the reason we're all so frustrated, is that our colleagues on the other side of the aisle decided to do this literally the day that Donald Trump was elected president. I mean, the day of his election, Tony. They came out and they started talking about their plans to impeach him. I made the point in my floor speech this morning that everybody in the country that's watching this at home needs to remember this important fact. 95 of the Democrats on the floor today voted to impeach Donald Trump, to proceed with impeachment proceedings against him before the July 25th phone call with President Zelensky, before anything, any of the facts that we're supposedly here debating today ever occurred. So to pretend that they came into this objectively or this is a sad or solemn occasion, all of that is nonsense. This is a predetermined political outcome and nothing more than that.
Well, in fact, this will be the third vote to impeach Donald Trump since he's been president. There have been two other previous impeachment efforts made, which were turned down by the House. So, I mean, you're right. This began minutes after he was sworn in as president. And as you point out, this is an evidence-free impeachment. And there's some very important points that you've made and others have made comparing this to history. Not only is there no evidence, but it is it's just strictly along partisan lines.
It is. It's the first time that there's been a literal single-party impeachment. And as you mentioned from my comments this morning, that is precisely what the founders feared. They feared that it would come to this one day in our nation's history where the majority party in the House would abuse their power and go after the president because they don't like his policies or the way he communicates or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what they have here. Look, every previous president in this country has made unpopular decisions, Tony, especially infuriated their political opponents and the other party. But impeachments, for good reason and by specific design, are exceedingly rare. So we've been a country for 243 years. There's only two previous presidents, Andrew Johnson in the 1860s and Bill Clinton in 98, that have been impeached by this House. I mean, Richard Nixon resigned in 74 to avoid this. But in each of those previous impeachments, this is the important point, evidence clearly established that specific criminal acts were committed. That is just simply not the case here. And what they're doing is opening a Pandora's box that it will be very, very difficult for us to close.
Oh, expound upon that, because you make mention of the division that this will bring upon the nation, further division, I might add, because we are a divided nation. What does this do to the fabric of our republic?
It grows, it creates and perpetuates this growing chasm between the two sides. And I want you to imagine a few years in the future when there's a Democrat in the White House and the Republican Party, our side has the majority here in the House. What will our base demand? Well, they will want an impeachment of that president, because the bar will now be set so low that mm-hmm. if you disagree with the policies of that person or the way they communicate or something they say to a foreign leader in an informal phone call, that will be the bar for impeachment. And if we don't do it, our base will get infuriated with us and say, you're not willing to play hardball like the other team. I mean, this is exactly what the founders wanted us to avoid, is getting to this point where impeachment is weaponized and becomes kind of like a common tool. It will destroy a republic, and that's what we're worried about.
I agree with you 100%. That is my concern as well. The bar has been lowered. It is a new... Well, they've lowered the threshold, which others will easily walk through in the future. Mike Johnson, thanks so much for joining us. Out of time. If I don't talk to you before, Merry Christmas, my friend. And thanks for standing strong for the Constitution and for the Republic.
You too, brother. Keep it up. Thank you.
You can find out more about Representative Johnson when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'd also encourage you to help FRC continue to produce this radio program, as well as support our ongoing efforts with a year-end gift that for a limited time will be doubled. You can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Black Hawk Down commander and three-star Army General Jerry Boykin has a word for men.
I'm no different than you are. I've been through the same struggles you've been through. I've made the same stupid mistakes and decisions that you've made. I've lost my faith and regained it. I've struggled. I've asked God why. And I've dealt with every issue you've dealt with. There's no difference between me and you, men. I'm not very religious. My faith is about my relationship with Jesus Christ. I've walked with him now for over 40 years. And I've learned a lot, and I want to share some of that with you.
Hello, this is Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President of Family Research Council. If you're struggling with what it means to be a godly man, we're here to help you. Our Stand Courageous Men's Conferences offer biblical solutions to the crisis of manhood in today's culture. Check out StandCourageous.com for an event in your area.
Religious liberty is one of the most important yet misunderstood issues in America. There's a growing perception that protecting religious liberty is an attempt to lawfully allow bigotry and prejudice. Therefore, Christians need to be able to articulate with greater clarity and persuasiveness why they support religious liberty. Biblical Principles for Religious Liberty, Evidence from Scripture and Church History, is a new publication from Family Research Council that presents biblical and theological arguments for why religious liberty is worth defending and encourages Christians to engage in the fight to preserve America's first freedom. This publication presents key biblical texts that support a broad understanding of religious freedom and key theological arguments based on those texts. In an increasingly secular world, Christians must understand and advocate for religious liberty. Learn more by visiting frc.org/belief.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Multiple new polls show that public support for impeachment has fallen to record lows, while President Trump's approval ratings surge. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about it is Chris Wilson, CEO of the polling firm WPA Intelligence.
Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
You bet, Tony. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, let's talk about this, the polling, people scratching their heads. This was supposed to be causing the president to tank, but we're seeing him bumping up to his high watermark of support approval rating among Americans during his entire tenure as president.
It's exactly what the polling shows, and it's a high water in terms of approval. It is, you're seeing his numbers solidify in states where he was weak just a few months ago, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. He had started to slip some in Iowa. We've seen him completely rebound there. And it's, we're even seeing states where he had challenges in 2016 and lost that he's now doing pretty well in. Minnesota, New Hampshire are two examples of those. And you mentioned the USA Today, who I'll point out their editorial board endorsed impeachment, and they get these, this polling back. It's really got to throw them all into a loop. But Axios, a newsletter out of Washington, D.C., just did some focus groups with voters who supported Barack Obama in 2012 and Donald Trump in 2016 and found that their support for Donald Trump in 2020 was even stronger than it was in 2016. And look, the number one reason for that is the economy. But the number two reason is Democrats and the way they've handled impeachment. And I'll tell you, I actually live in Oklahoma, where it's a suburban district that Kendra Horn defeated Steve Russell in last time, and I believe when she came out yesterday and said she was for impeachment, and I happened to be in a meeting for a client of mine in that district. I said, that's it. She's done. She has no chance of being reelected in this district. And I can point to, as you know, Tony, there are 31 seats that Democrats right. hold that were won by Donald Trump, and I would predict today that they'll lose 15 to 20 of those at least, and it could be more than that.
You know, 10 years ago, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker and was pushing through Obamacare. And the polling then looked very ominous for them as well, suggesting that they would be losing their majority, which in fact that happened. The Tea Party gave rise to the Tea Party. But here's, I was having dinner with a Democrat, a Blue Dog Democrat. They don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
those are conservative
none of those
Democrats.
Anymore.
Those are extinct. But the issue was, I said, you know, doesn't Pelosi see the polling? They're going to lose a majority. And he didn't miss a beat. He said, yes, but they know they'll fundamentally change government and the Republicans will never change it back. That part was mm-hmm. true. What do they have to gain here? I mean, what is there for Nancy Pelosi to gain in moving forward with this?
She keeps the speakership, and that really is what this is about for her, Tony, because I got to tell you, if you know, you mentioned Blue Dog Democrats, there's none of those left, but there are reasonable Democrats left, and you and I both know some of them, and you know, I do, as you know, a lot of Fox News, and I'll be in the green room talking with some of those reasonable Democrats, and they are furious at her because what she's throwing her freshman Democrat class under the bus in order to appease the AOCs of the world and the Rashida Tlaibs of the world. And that is who this is meant to appease. And it's meant to, because Pelosi was scared that if she did not move forward with these impeachment charges, that she would be challenged from her left for the speakership and could have possibly lost. And that's really, it is a remarkable calculation to surrender, like perhaps the majority, but certainly a large number of her freshman representatives that came in those 31 Trump seats, and to just say, I don't care. You guys can lose. I need to make sure that I stay in power. And that's what this is about for her.
So this is a selfish self-preservation move for her to solidify her left flank from the AOCs of the world.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, because there is no reasonable person who would look at polling on this and say this is a good idea, that impeachment is a good idea, that going after the president is a good idea. And as we've talked about, it had the exact opposite effect of what any optimist on the Democratic Party would have hoped for. And
so
that's,
are they surrendering the 2020 election when it comes to the presidency here? Because as you just pointed out, in the swing states, those states where he was doing poorly, and he struggled with last time, he's now leading.
Well, I think what they've done is the one strategically smart thing they've done is rush this through. As you know, it took a lot longer. Well, there haven't been a lot of examples of this, but certainly the one that we lived through, the Bill Clinton event, it took significantly longer. And so what she and Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff did is push this through as quickly as possible, so that hopefully it'll be gone and from the voters' minds by the time November of 2020 comes around. And that's wise. I mean, it's in their best interest. And you can think about back to the last election, Tony, 2018, where you and I spoke right after the Kavanaugh hearings, and Republicans had great numbers coming out of that. And then by Election Day, they dissipated again. So these things are snapshots in time. I wouldn't say that just because Donald Trump leads in every one of those states in December of 2019, that he's going to win them all in November of 2020. A lot's going to happen between now and then. But it certainly has allowed him to rebuild his image, and it also allows him to point to his accomplishments, because as they try and point to a perceived failure, he can say, well, look at these things that I'm doing well.
Right, right. All right, Chris, we got to leave it there. As always, thanks so much for joining us, Chris.
You bet. Thank you.
You can find out more about Chris Wilson when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you can see about joining us next June for a special trip to Israel. You can join Tony Perkins and his wife, Luana, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on an exciting and educational trip to the Holy Land. All of the details are there at our website, TonyPerkins.com.
Meadow Pollock was a high school senior who was tragically gunned down during the Parkland school shooting in Florida. In an emotional and gripping FRC Speaker Series event, her father, Andrew Pollock, and education expert Max Eden discussed the tragic massacre and the politically correct policies that allowed the Parkland shooting to happen. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the Obama administration promoted a false narrative that teachers and principals were racist and couldn't be trusted to enforce rules with consequences. Instead, they argued for healing circles and restorative justice. These policies enabled a psychopathic criminal to maintain a clean background and purchase a firearm used to murder 17 people at the high school. The Obama administration forced these leniency policies into hundreds of schools, serving millions of students across America. To listen to this event and to learn more, visit frc.org/speakers. That's frc.org/speakers.
Sexual sin can be difficult to discuss in the church, but it must be addressed. To help inform this conversation, FRC has a new publication for church leaders called Safeguard Your Ministry for Moral Failure. In it, Dr. Jesse Gill, a licensed psychologist, discusses contributing factors to moral failure, a practical understanding of our sexual nature, and a call for Christian leaders to increase their dependency on Christ. This publication is a must-read for everyone involved in ministry. To learn more, visit frc.org/safeguard. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With the media focused on the House of Representatives actually voting to impeach the president with seemingly no proof of crimes, are there any other motives for their actions? On Wednesday, Tony Perkins took some time to address that issue and share his thoughts on the impeachment.
All right, I want to, for a few minutes that we've got remaining, I want to talk about what is behind this. All right, there's no evidence. It's an evidence-free impeachment, as Congressman Mike Johnson talked about. There's not a shred of evidence. Partisan politics, all right? But this is a guy from New York City. I mean, why? I mean, if anything, and if we were talking earlier with Victor Hansen, that they would have thought this guy would have been just like them, billionaire, businessman. All the things from the past would suggest that he would track liberal or moderate at best. So what is it? Why are they so intent on impeaching him? All right, I want to lay the groundwork for this in the few minutes we've got left. Yesterday, on Fox and Friends, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, which was appointed by Donald Trump, his first appointment, shortly after taking office, was on Fox and Friends to promote a new book, A Republic, If You Can Keep It. And I'm just going to play a short clip of the introduction of that interview. Play the clip from Fox and Friends.
Joining us now for a rare live interview, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. Good morning to you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I love that you say that.
Now, the left went crazy because he had the audacity to say Merry Christmas and smile. The pundits on the left went after him, saying this was like a dog whistle to the GOP, as if only Republicans celebrate Christmas. Last time I checked, about 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas. There's something much deeper about this. And the reason I play that clip is because I think that is what this is all about. Not necessarily Neil Gorsuch, although The president rightfully points out in his letter, and I want to quickly read a paragraph of it to you. Let me, as soon as I find it, I got it here somewhere. Here it is. Right, the president, this is on page 3, if you happen to be following along. You and your party are desperate to distract from America's extraordinary economy, incredible jobs boom, record stock market, soaring confidence, and flourishing citizens. Your party simply cannot compete with our record. 7 million new jobs, the lowest ever unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Asian Americans, a rebuilt military, a completely reformed VA with choice and accountability for our great veterans, more than 170 new federal judges and 2 Supreme Court justices, historic tax and regulation cuts, the elimination of the individual mandate, the first decline in prescription drug prices in half a century, the first new branch of the United States military since 1947, the Space Force, strong protection of the Second Amendment, criminal justice reform, a defeated ISIS caliphate, and the killing of the world's number one terrorist leader, al-Baghdadi, the replacement of the disastrous NAFTA trade deal with the wonderful USMCA, Mexico and Trade, a breakthrough phase one trade deal with China, massive new trade deals with Japan and South Korea, withdrawal from the terrible Iran nuclear deal, cancellation of the unfair and costly Paris Climate Accord, becoming the world's top energy producer, recognition of Israel's capital, opening the American embassy in Jerusalem, and recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, a colossal reduction in illegal border crossings, the ending of catch and release, and the building of the southern border wall. And that's just the beginning. There is so much more. You cannot defend your extreme policies, open borders, mass migration, high crime, crippling taxes, socialized health care, destruction of American energy, late-term taxpayer-funded abortion, elimination of the Second Amendment, radical far-left theories of law and justice, and constant partisan obstruction of both common sense and common good, end quote. Well, an English teacher would have a field day with that paragraph or sentence. But here's the point. Yes, that is why I believe Nancy Pelosi and others are after the president, but there's more. He didn't go into what I believe is really at the heart of the left's animosity toward this administration. And I go back to what Neil Gorsuch said, Merry Christmas. Now you say, oh, Merry Christmas. Yeah, you get it. The left doesn't. Remember when the president was campaigning, he said, we're going to be able to say Merry Christmas again? And I had reporters say, what's that all about? Because it symbolizes the constant attack on religious freedom in this country. And people recognize that this president, as a candidate at that point, recognized, he aligned with him. He understood what it was like to be maligned because of your faith and told to basically zip it. Keep your faith to yourself. This president has unleashed the powers of faith in this country. Unlike anything we've seen in modern time where he is, as I said earlier, he's not just stopping the bad anti-faith, anti-Christian policies that preceded him in the Obama administration, the pro-abortion policies that made Christian businesses choose between abandoning their faith and abiding by the law. What he has done is he is dismantling this anti-moral framework that was put in by the left. And so when Neil Gorsuch goes on Fox and Friends and simply says, Merry Christmas, the left goes crazy because they know what that means. It means this administration is moving faith forward, the opportunity, the freedom of religion. They're not promoting a religion. They're promoting the freedom of religion, allowing people of faith once again to be full partners in citizenship, full citizenry, not having to be second-class citizens because they happen to believe in God and they happen to want to order their lives according to the teachings of Scripture, and they believe that life is sacred because it's created in the image of God. They're not second-class citizens unworthy of being involved in government because they believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. They believe in the sacredness of marriage, and they believe in the boundaries of human sexuality. They also believe the words of Jesus when he talks about what gender is. Have you not read from the beginning that God created them male and female? And here's the point. With a vibrant faith that we can pass on to our children, we can sustain the republic. We can sustain society, because without a vibrant faith, and I'm talking about a Christian faith, and people are free to have whatever faith they want, but the majority faith in this country, the faith that this country was built upon, is the Christian faith, the principles of it. We have the freedom of religion, and I don't dispute that, and I embrace it. People are free to believe in God, not believe in God, and I'll defend that right. But those of us who do believe have every right to live that way. And because we do, others benefit from that. And history would show that our society, this exceptional nation, is exceptional because of that faith and that foundation. And when we can once again reassert that, we disarm the left's ability to control the country in the future. The president is dismantling their secular, anti-religious framework. And they're afraid, if he gets another 4 years, that he'll zero in on their really sacred spots, education in the classroom where they're indoctrinating our children. So folks, let's hope and pray that he gets another 4 years so we can do just that.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.